perhaps I can give you justice in the name of our king.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Next Best Series, part of the Next Best Picture podcast, where myself and Mr. Will Mavity.
Hi, guys.
We are still previewing Game of Thrones Season 7. There was a new trailer that got released recently.
As with last time, I had to change my shorts afterwards because this one was the most cinematic thing I have ever seen. It made me shit my pants twice.
It's probably the best trailer I think the show has ever had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely.
We're here to talk about that and also see if any of our predictions or theories for this season have now changed as a result of the new footage that we saw in this trailer. So let's dive right in right away, Will Mavity. Let's take a look at the Game of Thrones Season 7 second trailer and let's talk about it.
Don't fight in the north or the south. Fight every battle, everywhere. Always. In your mind.
For centuries, our families fought together against their common enemy, despite their differences, together. We need to do the same if we're gonna survive, because the enemy is real. It's always been real.
The snows fall and the white winds blow. The lone wolf dies, but the pack survives.
So the first thing I'm going to say right away, right off the bat here, is the use of Light of the Seven.
Yes, that is far and away in a show that is full of great tracks. That is far and away my favorite track Ramin Djawadi ever composed, and I never thought we would hear it again. I am so glad it popped up here. I got chills on my spine just hearing that.
I'm wondering if, like, because it was so popular in last year's season, it even, like, climbed its way up the iTunes charts. I wonder if they'll do, like, any kind of renditions off of it, even though, you know, maybe for, like, Cersei scenes or something like that, because... You know, at this point, the Sparrows are all gone. She's dealt with all of her enemies. So there really wouldn't be a real use for it unless if they give some of those cues and that theme to Cersei to some degree.
It could be interesting if they mash it with the Lord of Light theme.
Oh.
Because there's, you know, like the bow, 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 bow. It sounds much better than that when Ramin Djawadi does it. But there is a general, each religion had its own theme, I guess. In the show, and this would be, that would be the Lord of the Lights. I don't know, it'll be interesting, since the Sparrows are gone, but religion is still present in the show, and as we are reminded of, presumably as Jaime gets frustrated, reminded of Cersei's legacy of doing harmful things, that certainly would be a bit of music that's associated with it. I mean, Benioff and Weiss wrote that awful Dorne plotline into the season because in season 5 because people liked Oberyn Martell more than they expected. So, you know, I could see them writing this in even if it doesn't fit just because it was a fan favorite.
Yeah. Well, the first shot, the first image that we see in the trailer is a single take of Sansa walking towards the camera, confident at first, then a little weary, looking over her shoulder, though as if she's, you know, concerned about something. And we have voiceover from Littlefinger telling her, do not fight in the north, do not fight in the south, fight every battle always in your mind. First of all, I think almost every shot in this trailer is breathtakingly beautiful.
Oh,
my God. In terms of the composition, the lighting, just the overall production quality, it looks incredible.
Yeah, I'm looking here, like, the blue of her eyes plays so well off the blue hue. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's stunning.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you have Littlefinger's creepy-ass voice kind of ruining the appeal, but yeah.
I love that this trailer, though, starts and ends with Sansa. We don't see any bits of her in between, but she gets the final voiceover at the end. And it almost seems like it is not in the same conversation, but both lines are from Littlefinger to Sansa, and then at the end, from Sansa to Littlefinger.
I hadn't noticed that bit of bookending. That's really interesting. I think every season has a particular character who's got their big arc for the season. You know, I mean, season two was Tyrion's, for example. So it would be interesting to see if this is finally really the Sansa season, mm-hmm. if she is the crucial part. I know some people theorize she's going to die this season. But those two different very different quotes suggest that maybe her arc is fully coming back into the Stark fray and hopefully overwhelming Littlefinger's bad influence, because we'll get to the line at the end, but that sounds like she wants to be a team player by the end.
Yeah, no, we could talk about it now. It to me, it sounds exactly like you said, because it's a line that Ned Stark tells Arya in the books when he's talking about how they need to band together and they're stronger together. You know, apes together strong, as Caesar would say in the War for the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, I want to see that so badly.
But, you know, so here Sansa's basically saying, you know, the lone wolf may die, but the pack survives because the pack sticks together. And I think that that is a line that maybe she's saying that to Jon, you know, when she starts to realize that there is a rift between her and Jon that Littlefinger has caused, and that they can't fight amongst one another, but they need to stay together. She could be saying it to Arya. It could be like, remember what Father used to say. You know what I mean?
Well, and there are rumors of a lot of significant parties from all over the map coming to finally meet one another in one space this season.
Yeah, the theme of the season is worlds collide.
So I think also that could be if a large number of characters who've all been on set together for the first time are having a big meeting where they recognize the big threat that is the White Walkers. This could also not just be to Jon. It could be not even just to the Starks. It could be to the Starks and to the Targaryens.
It could be everybody.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So I think it might tie in there, just as some of Jon's lines might as well.
Moving on to other shots here, we see Bran and Meera arriving at the wall, which is, I guess, something that's going to happen like probably within the first episode or two, because last we left them, they were at the base of the wall where Benjen left them.
Do we think that this is going to break the magic protecting the wall since he's got that mark?
100,000%.
Okay, yeah, so they're not just going to kind of forget that little detail. We assume that's going to...
I believe that him and the Night King are definitely now connected, because there's another shot later on in the trailer that shows these crows flying through the sky. And if you look closely, you could see that the crow has some whiteness in its eye, which makes you believe that it's being controlled by Bran. And then they cut to a shot of the Night King looking up, and then Bran kind of snaps out of the vision in the God's Wood. Which is where we saw Sansa in the first shot of the trailer. And Bran is now in a very nice three-wheeled wheelchair. And Maester Walken, who, if people remember from season six, he had the line to Ramsay.
Poisoned by his enemies.
Yeah. Right? Poisoned by his enemies. That he's now the Maester of Winterfell. So he's serving, I guess, Bran, who's Lord of Winterfell at this point. And all of this is connected because... if Sansa is remaining behind, along with Arya and Bran, while Jon goes north of the wall, which is also the next shot here, so this is all linked together, Something tells me that Bran is using the crows to aid Jon, which means Bran is not literally, but figuratively also going on this journey with Jon and his companions beyond the wall.
Oh, that's I love having all the Starks together again. That is, that's going to be intense.
Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, I've got this really cool ability where I could warg, and you know what a warg is, John. You kind of killed one back in, season 3. It's like, use me. I'll help you evade capture from the Whites. I'll do everything I can to, aid you guys. And so, now going more back to the stuff that's happening up north, we do see some more shots of John and his companions, and this is where I think everybody started losing their minds in the trailer.
Are we going to talk about all the John North shots?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, so I know Matt has had some theories, because there's a lot of fire in some of these shots.
Yeah, and there's a couple of ways this can go. I mean, the first thing that pops to my mind is, well, Beric Dondarrion's got a flaming sword.
Which, it's a lightsaber. It looks, that shot where he just lights up that sword. Oh!
Yeah, that was so amazing. Cool. Goosebumps. And then you have the Hound also fighting along with Beric. Doros of Myr is noticeably absent, but you have to imagine that he's there.
Was he the one who originally could light the swords, and maybe he's passed that ability on to Beric or something? Okay.
Yes. That's because Doros of Myr, they do make reference to him fighting with a flaming sword. I think back in season 1, they're telling a story.
Right, yeah, Jamie was talking about that to the guy who got stabbed in the eye.
Yeah, Yuri.
Yeah, right.
So, all the shots here, there's a couple of things that lead me to believe that they're being aided, I guess. So there's three theories. There's the theory that it's Beric Dondarrion's sword, and it's caused some fire here and there. There is the second theory that they're being aided by a dragon.
Right, I like that theory.
And then there is the third theory, which is that the fire is a trap that is being used to entrap the Whites so that they could capture one and bring it back to Dany to convince her that the threat is real and that she need not concern herself with Cersei. They should all take their forces and go north.
And what do you see as the most likely possibility? I like the dragon theory. I think that would be so sick.
I say, why can't it be all three?
She's using a dragon to capture a White.
So I have a feeling, because if you watch the trailer, you'll see that they're on a ridge, and it's just Beric, the Hound, Jon, and Tormund, which leads me to believe that all the other companions, and there's 12 killed, or 11, they're all dead, probably.
Sorry, Ed.
So, Gendry, who's been rumored to be in that pack, is probably gone. We don't know who else, but maybe Doros of Myr. Possibly, maybe Brienne goes with them. Maybe Pod's with them. I mean, we don't know what we don't know in regards to who's a part of this group. But they're...
Oh, shit. I'm so hyped about that episode.
Yeah, they're all probably gone. And to lead even more craziness to all this, we get the second to last shot of the trailer where the Lone Rider is riding their horse away. And it looks like the rider is injured. We can confirm it is Jon, based on the fact that Longclaw is on the rider's side. And it leads me to think that maybe Jon gets out of this. Or this is totally not a connected shot. It's related maybe to something else. But I think if that means Jon gets out of this, that means everybody dies.
I have a hard time thinking that he is the sole survivor there, because it's, if the entire purpose of this episode, as we think it is for them to go capture a White and bring it back to convince people, if they spend all that time and they just go up and get slaughtered, nothing's accomplished, it would just be wasted screen time. It might look cool, but that would be bad writing.
Would it be? Because what I think it does is I think it empowers the Night King, the White Walkers, and the Whites as an even more dominant force as we head into the final season, because they need us to feel that our heroes have their backs up against a wall, and how can they possibly get out of this one? You know, if they're completely overwhelmed, they need to suffer a major blow.
I guess. I mean, the deck is already stacked so high against them.
So back to the dragon thing now for a second. The Night King could possibly be looking up not just at Bran's crows, but up at a dragon that swoops in to save the day.
Mm.
Because in the one shot where they're on the ridge, you see Tormund the Hound and Beric fighting, but Jon, the camera's pulling back from him. He has his sword down, though, as if he sees something, and the pullback of the camera is going to reveal what it is, or he's just completely overwhelmed by the fact that there's thousands of Whites, you know, swarming down
right,
on them.
Right.
But I like to think that there is something, and I say this because in the final shot of the trailer, we see Jon cut down a White. We see Whites in the distance. We see fire, and they're not charging at Jon. It's so as if something is behind Jon that's scaring them.
Scaring them. Right. Right.
And I, this is my belief. You ready for this? Here's my prediction.
I am.
I think that Dany's going to take her forces, obviously, because we see Dany riding one of the dragons. We don't know if it's Drogon or Viserion against the Lannister army at one point. I think Tyrion is the one that's going to take the dragon to aid Jon because he's left behind.
Oh, shit.
And I have a feeling Bran will be the one to tell Tyrion they're in trouble. They need your help.
Oh, man. Yeah, because Tyrion, I mean, they have kind of a connection. Tyrion designed Bran's saddle back in the day, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. That would be so narratively satisfying. I like that.
But to make it worse, I do believe that they still, even though we have this like somewhat triumphant moment of badassery, I still believe that the Night King ends up controlling one of the dragons.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. There's just because there's three. There's one to spare. That would be too. I think the dragons. Throughout, I think this is going to be a season of Dany losing a lot, and I could see Euron taking one. If she gets it back, I totally think the Night's King is going to get it. But for that final showdown, he's got to have a dragon. Or he might have one of his own. There might be an ice dragon. You know, they talk about spiders and ice dragons as part of the White Walker rumors. I would not put it past him to just already have one of his own. So Dany ends up with all three of her dragons. And when he brings down the wall, as we all know, and here's the reason I don't think they're just going to get slaughtered up north. I think they do need a victory, because I think we all agree it's going to end with the wall coming down. And I think it just fits to have this victory that feels triumphant, and then Benioff and Weiss just kind of pop the bubble of victory and end it with them all flooding into with the White Walkers all flooding into the north. You know, like, I just feel like structure-wise, that's what has to happen. So I think they will successfully capture and bring back a White. I don't think everyone gets slaughtered. I think, I told you last time, that's why they're bringing Gendry back, just to kill him. If he's there, he is there literally just to be a face to get killed. So I don't think everyone dies. Like, what's the point in bringing the Hound back if he just goes back to get killed up north? He's got to have a bigger narrative role.
Well, there is a shot, also a silhouetted figure that is surrounded by Lannister men. There is also a crate behind this figure, which leads me to believe that this person has been in this crate, has now been taken out of the crate, and we see that figure draw their sword. Now, if you look at the silhouetted image,
it's clearly the Hound.
It's clearly the Hound. I've heard some people say it's Bronn, but if you look at the screenshot of Jon and his companions standing on the ice ridge while they're hacking away at the Whites, the Hound is wearing the exact same outfit that this silhouetted figure is wearing here in terms of the shape.
Oh, man. Oh, so I like to think we are finally getting a Clegane Bowl.
So I'd like to think that, because I feel like this ice battle is going to happen in like episode 6. I wonder if our heroes are going to get like split up somehow.
Mm.
And maybe the Hound gets captured by Lannister men and is brought back to... I don't know really how this happens.
So I have heard, you know,
if I'm all hyped for Clegane Bowl. I'm like, I'm all about it. Clegane Bowl, get hype. Like I'm there, but I just don't see how it all happens.
If there is a scenario which has been rumored to occur where everyone, including the Lannisters, ends up in one location together negotiating in the aftermath of a war, let's say they do bring back a white, let's say that negotiations are to be had.
Yeah, because Dany's clearly overpowered Cersei's forces, right, as we see in that envoy attack that Jaime and Bronn defend. You know, like there's fire all over the fields, and you know, how can you stand up against a Dothraki in open field combat plus a dragon? You just can't.
Yeah, and we see shots of Jaime where it's clearly his army's decimated. You know, it looks like Jaime's riding to his death almost, which we don't think will happen.
No, you know why? I finally put two and two together. It took me a while on this one, but I finally figured it out. It is connected to the final shot of the first trailer of two figures falling into the water.
Oh.
I think Jaime's going to make the charge at the dragon. And I believe that Bronn is going to hit Jaime out of the way of Drogon's fire. And they're going to fall in the water.
Yeah. So that has nothing to do with the presumed naval battle then.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's... Okay, yeah, and that explains how Jaime avoids what would be a ride to the death.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay, and I like that.
And maybe Jaime, you know, comes under capture of Dany, and that's how we get our Jaime-Tyrion reunion.
Mmm. But yeah, I think everyone who's still alive is going to end up meeting, and I think it may be like a Treaty of Versailles type situation, you know, like deciding who gets what afterwards, and somehow or another that leads to conflict if Cersei is still alive. And
I'm starting to think that Cersei, my original prediction about Jaime killing Cersei, I have my doubts now. I just, because I feel like we're going to get this, all these characters will come together. The Hound is probably going to be there, and along with other characters, and it's obviously under Lannister control at first, because like I said, there's armed guards like standing around, but I'm trying to figure out like, how does Cersei have the upper hand in a meeting of that size? And the answer to me is Euron. You know, in this trailer, we see Euron's ship. So we see his ship called the Silence, which has a lot of sails on it. Makes it really fast, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And we see...
How did he build that from the barren Iron Islands? There's no wood on the Iron Islands.
Listen, man, it's a fantasy show. Leap of faith.
Continue.
We see the attack that happens on the Greyjoy fleet. I'm of the belief that this is either a Blackwater Bay attack that goes wrong, or it is a stealth attack from Euron in the middle of the night while Dany's ships are docked at Dragonstone. So I believe here that Euron is going to capture Yara. They're not going to kill her right away. I think that he'll, or maybe he will kill her right away, but he will definitely bring the Sand Snakes and Ilaria to Cersei as a means of, these are the ones that killed your daughter, right? Well, to prove my loyalty to the crown, here they are for you to do with what you will. You know what I mean?
And then Benioff and Weiss brought in their troops, but they can get rid of those hated characters, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, too, we see another shot, a beautiful shot, of what I believe is Theon collapsing on the beach at Dragonstone.
Yeah.
And so I think that he's emotionally destroyed over the fact that his sister might be presumably dead.
Yeah, I mean, that is clearly Theon. I will be curious as to where the location of this is. If he is able to get back to Dragonstone, I suppose that means you're right, and he attacks them. Because we've heard they're going to get to Dragonstone by the first episode, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think you've pretty much nailed the location on that one, too.
Couple other things here, just in terms of shots, as we're going through the trailer. We see a glimpse of King's Landing. There are lion banners that are hanging above the crowd.
And everyone's applauding Cersei.
Yep. So it's either that. It could also be the arrival of Euron and his men into the city.
Interesting.
You know, and they're welcoming them, possibly. Because we do see another shot in the trailer of his fleet sailing into Blackwater Bay. We do have a shot of Cersei, but we can't tell where she is or what the context of the shot is. This is a very Cersei light trailer compared to the first one. In fact, you know, if you really want to split it, it's funny. We've gotten two trailers, and you know who we haven't seen anything of at all. We have not seen a single thing of Sam or Jorah.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I assume probably we talked about this last time. Their plot line is going to be one of the biggest twists, if you will, into how we defeat the White Walkers. So that is presumably something that they want to keep hidden as much as possible.
Mm.
Yeah, because I am hyped to see more of Old Town. You know, we saw an interior there, but it's finally a new place on the map. We haven't had a new place in... I don't count Dorne, so I like to think of it as we haven't had a new place on the map since season 4. So I am very hyped to see what Old Town looks like. And for those who didn't hear our last podcast, Matt, do you still think what's going to happen is Jorah is going to come to Old Town looking for a cure, encounter Sam, and that is how they will probably find the cure or the weapon against the White Walkers?
100%.
Okay, yeah.
I'm still of that belief, definitely. I also think, too, because we've seen this based on production stills, we've seen Sam and Gilly reading about the legend of Azor Ahai, which is where I think we'll finally get our first monologue that will explain the history of Azor Ahai, so that this way fans can further draw conclusions over whether or not if it's Dany or Jon now as we head into the final episodes of the show.
When are we going to have each battle? You said the ice battle you think is episode 6. When is the naval battle and when is the field battle? If you had to guess
episodes. I think the naval battle... I would say the naval battle is probably like episode 2 or 3. And I think the envoy, because it's not really like a battle at King's Landing like I thought it was. Because in the scene, you know, that we gain in this trailer now, we see shots of Jaime and Bronn with the Lannister soldiers pulling back their arrows. And in the back, there's kind of like supplies being moved. So it's possible this is just Daenerys like strategically finding ways to pick apart Cersei's empire. Now, to give a little bit more evidence to this, you know, we see in the trailer, obviously, the Unsullied trying to capture Castle Rock via water drains that Tyrion had spoken about to Varys, I think, back in, like, season 2, where he was put in charge of them by his father. So that's, like, Tyrion's contribution there. And then we also see a shot of Jaime walking along the battlements of what is presumably based upon a body that's on the floor, Highgarden. So the Lannisters will attack Highgarden, and they'll probably form an alliance with that douchebag, Randall Tarly, right. I'm sure.
He's got a large army of his own, correct?
Yep. We'll have Cersei do that. Castle Rock will get attacked. Right. Their supplies that are being moved will be attacked in that that scene with Jaime that looks freaking amazing.
You think that giant battle is going to be for something relatively insignificant like that?
I do, because I have a feeling now, based upon that, and now thinking that this is what it is. Either they're withholding a shitload of stuff that happens in the last two episodes, and that could be maybe because of unfinished visual effects work, or... You got to remember, the last two episodes are 71 and 83 minutes long. They could cover so much ground.
There's got to be a lot we don't know. Yeah, but...
Yeah. So that leads me to believe that these are all, like, skirmishes.
Uh-huh.
And it's all going to either culminate in that negotiation scene that you're talking about, where all the characters kind of come together at the end, or it's going to bleed into next season. Either way, I think Cersei now survives the season.
I am so disappointed if that's the case. That is an arc, I think, that should have ended this season so we could just focus on the White Walkers next. Unless they're somehow never going to kill her and let her have some shocking change of heart, which I cannot fathom.
Mm.
Just because... So what's the theory now? Is she a nuisance for the rest of the show when they're trying to battle the White Walkers? Or do they just for some reason kill her in like episode 2 of season 8? If she survives, like... Because that would seem anticlimactic.
Like,
in many ways, she's been she. In many ways, she's been the big bad since season one. You know, she was the ultimate manipulator in King's Landing, almost as much as Littlefinger. Back to the beginning to get Ned Stark died. It's so important that she dies. It would seem. I'm starting to think you're right. I'm holding out hope she dies, and at the very end of. Episode 7, which I think is still very viable, as you said.
Yeah, I think her and Littlefinger are the two most likely to go, although now I'm a little less on
Cersei. I don't think she'll accept the terms of a surrender. You know, I think even if there are negotiations, I think she will find a way to try to pull a fast one when all of her enemies are together in one spot. Be it wildfire or something else, I think she'll still try something.
Yeah. Yeah. What else is there to really draw upon here in this trailer?
The shots of people cheering in King's Landing could, in theory, also be people cheering as Cersei has been overthrown as well. They don't have to be supporting Cersei necessarily.
But then the banners would not be held high. They'd be taken down.
True. I'm looking, that shot you're talking about, the final stand, it looks like... There are more people huddled, crouching down on top of the rock, along with Jon, Tormund, and Thoros. So, I still maintain hope that it's not a slaughter down to everyone.
Regardless, I do think that we lose Beric, I think we lose Thoros. I think the Hound gets out, but I think Tormund is...
I'm going to be so upset if Tormund... I thought Tormund was going to die in Battle of the Bastards. I'm going to be so upset when Tormund dies.
I love this group, though, because, like, you have Beric, the Hound, and Jon, who have all, quote-unquote, died, and they're facing the undead.
Oh, that's so poetic.
You have Tormund and the Hound together, and they could maybe talk about Brienne in some way.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting conversation.
That dumb bitch tried to kill me. And then Tormund
like, oh, I love like, a woman like that. Yeah.
You watch your mouth. She's a nice lady.
No, I think that would be like an aphrodisiac. He's like, oh, she took down someone twice her size. Oh, you know.
He gets like more horny. Yeah, he's like
sporting a boner when she hears that she threw him off a cliff. Yeah.
That's really funny.
Oh, that's so poetic.
You know, just other random observations here, too. You notice that Dany is on top of Drogon in that final dragon shot?
Yes. Yes.
Drogon's huge.
Oh, my God. No. Well, they said he's going to be the size of a 747, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's... And also, just want to comment the technical aspects. The CGI is so good on them now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, compared to where it's been, even the last couple seasons, they look astonishing. Oh, and we get to see a little more of Missandei and Grey Worm. They're really hyping up this sex scene. I think everyone's curious.
I still don't know.
Everyone's curious how it's going to happen.
I do not know whatsoever how it's even possible. They're going to try and make it happen.
We see how Euron's going to attack. They're pulling that that tactic from the Romans versus the Carthaginians. You know, they're going to be dropping ramps down onto Dany's ships so they can just attack them basically person by person.
Which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. We've had a naval battle with Blackwater, kind of, but not really. I've always wanted to see how the show would handle a true, like, ship versus ship, master and commander style naval battle. So I...
What do you make of the fire in the scene? Is that just simply his men launching fire arrows at her fleet?
There's so much... there's one shot... Where it looks, there is a massive plume of fire just torching a sail. I think the dragons come into play here, and I'm thinking maybe they do more harm than good.
So do you believe, and this is where we're going to tie this all back around again, one dragon gets control by the Night King. Dany's got one dragon with her that she's using to attack the Lannisters with. And Euron, using the Dragonbinder horn, takes control over another.
Yes, I think that is certainly very possible. I think the Dragonbinder is too good a plot device for them just not to have included it at all. And Benioff and Weiss like to hold things out for shock value. And I think that's why we just didn't see it mentioned last season. He didn't bring that out at the Kingsmoot. Yes, I think Dragonbinder is going to play a role. And I think that'd be... because right now, if she has three fucking dragons, it's just not fair. You know, it's not suspenseful. No, it isn't. If you have three dragons on top of like 100,000 soldiers, yeah, I think he's going to get one. The Night's King's going to have a dragon, whether or not he steals one of hers or he just whips out one of his own. Yeah.
Do you think that the 12 companions with Jon, do you think they all have Valyrian steel from Dragonstone?
Oh, shit.
Because Jon cuts down that white in the last shot like it's nothing. And
well, we knew Longclaw was...
Yes, but that made me wonder, does everybody else have? Because otherwise, that you want to talk about unfair. Jon, can I have your sword?
I mean, Thoros is taken care of, Beric is taken care of because he's got a flaming sword. But, Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, did Dragonstone have access to further Valyrian steel?
Yes. They're able to mine it there. Or rather, there's dragon glass.
Well, we knew there was dragon glass. I don't think they have more Valyrian steel. They might have dragon glass.
Yeah, they have dragon glass.
Which is still not quite as helpful, but
it's a start. And then the last thing I just want to comment on about this trailer, and then we'll go, is do we... I'm starting to wonder now this. Earlier, I talked about how I thought Tyrion might show up with a dragon to save Jon and everybody. And then maybe something goes wrong, and the Night King possibly controls the dragon. And that's, you know, Jon getting away on the horse, and maybe the other characters, some of them get away, but they're split up. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm wondering if Bran, with the warging into the ravens and the Night King, because the Night King can also take these creatures and he could probably control them as well. Like, they could be used as almost like a vessel by which the Night King and Bran can, like, with their minds, fight one another psychologically.
Oh, my God.
So now, hold on. This is where it gets very interesting. We've always talked about Bran controlling a dragon.
Right.
If the Night King has a dragon under his control, that makes the whole Bran controlling a dragon thing that much more important now.
Right. So he can win it back from the Night's King. Fuck.
Exactly.
That's fascinating. Dude, that... And so are you thinking what happens is maybe they do successfully retrieve a white, but they lose a dragon in the process?
Yeah, I think so. So they're able to convince Dany, you know, maybe the Cersei conflict is over, and maybe that's what the big meeting in the finale is everybody coming together with this white, essentially.
And then Danny's just like, thank you, fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You lost my dragon.
And right when they've all decided to band together, that's when the Night King will strike the
war
at the end of the season, and we head into the final season.
Matt, honestly, this entire conversation just skyrocketed my anticipation. The trailer already had me pumped, but now I'm thinking about this horror-style skirmish that could happen in the north with like a dozen good characters getting picked off, and I cannot tell you how hyped I am.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hopefully one of them isn't Davos.
Oh, God. If Davos dies, I think that... No, don't even talk like that. Davos is fine. Davos is fine.
Well, we'll certainly see what happens. July 16th, it could not come fast enough. As of this recording, it is officially 3 weeks away.
Holy shit.
I am so, so excited. I cannot wait to be reviewing these episodes with you, Will, and talking about this incredible television show that much more throughout the rest of the summer. Where can they find you on the internet, my friend?
You can find me on Twitter at Mavericks Movies.
and you can find me at Next Best Picture. Thank you for listening to this final preview of Game of Thrones Season 7 as part of Next Best Series, Next Best Series Podcast, a little experiment that we're doing here where we talk about television under the banner of nextbestpicture.com. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and Player FM. Be sure to leave us a review on iTunes, and we will see you all next time.